The Home Show with Tom Tynan podcast is made possible thanks to our partners like Ideal Roofing, installing quality material and quality workmanship.
It's Sunday morning, and this is Early Edition with Tom Tynan and Charlie Mosier. It's half an hour of ideas and tips from the pros Tom Tynan trusts.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Charlie.
Tom, it's Early Edition. Can you believe it?
I believe it. That's why I'm here.
Sunday morning, we're here to answer the questions you send us at homeshowradio.com.
I'm just getting over the time change, man. It's messed me all up. It's been, what, 2 months now? It feels
it's been
like
a week.
Has it been a week? Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not good with that.
That's all right. Tom's VCR is still flashing 12.
Yes, and I'm like the dog that says, it's 4:30, why don't you feed me? And you're going, it's not 4:30 yet, 5:30 yet, that kind of thing.
Get the dogs caught
up. Dog.
All right. Sorry. Well, we're here to help you. We're helping you take a bite out of your problems you there got you with go. Your home improvement stuff. The questions send us at homeshowradio.com. Like we got one here from Jimmy in Lake Jackson, Tom. He says he had his house cleaned out and he also did the remediation work, but the house still has a smell to it. He's dehumidified. He's used chemicals. But now, how does he kill this moldy smell and get rid of it once and for all?
Well, I don't know if it's mold or what, but maybe if he just used the bleach, this is what a lot of people did. They just used bleach as opposed to the real antibacterial products out there. And the smells are coming back. Bleach just didn't work like everything else should be that works better. And then also we get into pigmented shellac. I tell people to paint the place because that smell will linger, just like if it was a fire restoration, that smoke smell lingers too. So I have a feeling he didn't really go through the cleaning process because people will say, oh, I did fix it or I did clean it. But then it's still leaking or it's still coming back. Right. So the reality is it hadn't been fixed yet.
I haven't fixed it. I worked at fixing it.
Exactly.
So let's just run it through real quick here. One, two, three. What does he need to do?
Everything needs to come out. Like that's got wet. You need to use an antibacterial product that are on the markets today, and there's a bunch of them. You can find one, I'm sure, that'll work better. If you just use bleach, that's not going to work, and don't use a lot more bleach.
You like the Consan stuff?
Consan 20 is awesome. And as far as painting the inside of those walls and all your exposed building materials before you close it up, spray it with a pigmented shellac. That will keep anything when it gets wet from that smell from coming back.
By building materials, you're talking about wood and anything that has...
Yeah, the back of the sheathing. You know, we went all these sheathing questions and wood and anything that's exposed like that.
There you go. All right, there's more Early Edition coming up. We're going to talk to Rudy in a minute about best colors for painting houses. I think there could be some house painting going on. Steve from Concepts and Concrete will be here to fib out fixing up your concrete decking. Mark from Absolute Comfort Air to talk about return airs. They're going to be returning to work on our air here soon, in fact.
Oh, that's good.
Kenny at Due West will be talking about lifting houses. This is a big business right now, Tom. There's hundreds of houses, thousands of houses in Houston that are looking to elevate themselves. And he's going to talk about what's involved in making that happen later on this morning as we continue with Early Edition on Sports Radio 610.
And all of these things going on leads to maybe, how about some window replacement too? If you had windows that were just, you know, underwater, that might be a time you say, you know what, talk to the insurance company and get the windows.
That's something Sandy was asking me the other day. She's like, she saw houses that the windows went underwater. She says, do they have to replace the window?
It depends what kind of window, but a lot of them, yeah. The old vinyl windows, if they get full of water, those vinyl frames and stuff, think about that.
All those channels.
There's little holes and stuff where the water will get in. I'd get rid of them. Now, if it's an old solid aluminum framed window, then maybe not, but you still got to scrub it and everything. And it's just, if it's underwater with all that schmutz, you're replacing everything else. It's just not a bad time. I mean, it's a good time to think about the process.
You can live a schmutz-free lifestyle now.
Well, you know, we're getting questions. People say, yes, you can. Hey, you know, every time it rains or something, that smell comes back.
Right.
You know, it could be in the little things that hold the glass in the windows and stuff.
Like the question we just had.
That's right. So, the bottom line is this. If it's part of your project, this is a good time to call Jim Fiume at Gulf Coast Windows and say, hey, let me see if I can add new windows to my project now, too.
be a good time to do it. You could, and he has a window for everybody. He has the vinyl windows, the composite windows.
The composite windows he loves.
Those are nice.
And you know what? They're solid. If they get underwater, they have no channels to take all the schmutz.
They use them on submarines. No, they don't.
No, they don't. Okay. Might work on a cruise ship.
Maybe so. Yeah. All right. It's Gulf Coast Windows.
We continue on here on Early Edition on Sunday morning. I'm Charlie Moger, and I've got Rudy from Rudy's Quality Painting on the line. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning, Charlie.
I got a question here from Susie, and I thought of you, and so I picked up the phone and called you. She says she's planning on having her house painted and would like some advice on colors to choose for because of our Houston weather, all the sun we get. She says even though she has lots of trees around the house, she's worried about the colors fading. And so she wants some advice on what paint to choose and what colors might work best for her. What do you think?
Okay, the first thing I'm thinking about is the brand of paint that she's going to buy. She wants to stay away from, you know, cheap, low-end paint. She wants to go with the higher-end paint, with the paint that would have a lifetime warranty on it. That would help her keep from fading and splitting and, you know, flaking off.
Sure. Now, when you're talking about that kind of paint, you're talking about, like, your manor halls and that kind of paint.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the big-name brand paint. You want to go with the... I don't want to say most expensive, but, you know, you could shop around and find your lifetime warranty paints out there that have a better years and quality into them.
So make sure that the paint you pick is going to have a lifetime warranty.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, in the minute we've got left here, what about colors? You've painted a lot of houses over the years, you and your dad. What colors, what experience have you had with color?
Well, we do have good experience with lighter colors. You want to stay away from really, really dark colors. We painted dark browns, chocolate dark brown houses, and, you know, a year later, the color would change. It would turn on you because it's so dark. The sun will eat it up. It doesn't last. It doesn't hold up the color very well. You go back and touch it up, and you'll have problems there. You'll see how much... the color has faded, but the lighter colors fade lesser. They'll last longer. They'll keep the true color.
Go more with like your pastels, like, you know, your light yellows and maybe off-white.
Yeah, you could do that, and you could go to mid-range colors. You know, your light browns, tans, greens. But once you go to the darker end, then that's when you're gonna have problems.
So go to the light. It's where your friends are.
Yes.
All right. He's Rudy Escalante from Rudy's Quality Painting. You can learn more about Rudy and all they do under the Rudy's Quality Painting section here at homeshowradio.com. Rudy, thanks for being with us this morning.
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you for making Home Show Early Edition part of your Sunday morning. It's where we get you the answers from people Tom trusts. And one of those people is Steve from Concepts in Concrete. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, I got a letter here, an email, a message, a question from one of our listeners under the Ask Tom tab at homeshowradio.com, Gary. And he's got a little deck issue, and so I thought of you where his concrete is concerned. He says his existing patio was once upon a time sanded down and a new process applied to create a pattern that they chose. Well, the patio stained, and now it's all faded, and the company they bought it from is nowhere to be found. Now, they don't have enough clearance under the house door to the patio to install tile like they'd like to. And they originally thought about just putting down pool decking, but now they don't know if that's feasible. So he's looking for answers, and so I come to the guy who knows more about concrete than anybody else. Steve, what are some options for Gary?
You know, I need to look at it, obviously, but there's a couple different ways we can go. If it's faded out, we can just do a simple clean color and seal if the pattern's still in good shape. And
that's kind of like what you did. That's kind of like what you did in that driveway in the video that we've got up.
Yeah, exactly. And we do a lot of that because, you know, the major expense in any of these installations is the texturing or the stamping or the spray decks or, you know, even our slate texture systems. But if it's still in good shape and sound, we go in and we clean it, we color it, and make it look brand new.
Well, it sounds like that would be a lot more affordable than starting from scratch.
Exactly. And then, you know, even if we got clearance problems at a door jamb or a threshold, a lot of times we can grind those down and then we can doll it up and just, you know, manicure it to where it'll flow in with the rest of the system, you know, depending on, you know, what he's got to work with. So, you know, but there are different answers for that.
On the other hand, if it does need to be scraped and redone, that's something that you could do as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we can always get the big grinders out and grind it back down to concrete and start all over again. And, we do a lot of that also.
Okay, so depends on what you see when you get there, so you probably have to have a look. So I'll get you Gary's email. You can get in touch with him. Okay, so if you want to learn more about what Steve and Concepts in Concrete do, you can visit our website, click on the Concepts in Concrete icon, and then take a look at his videos and learn more. Steve, thanks for being with us this morning.
Okay, Charlie, appreciate you.
Getting ready for the holidays? Cleaning up after Uncle Charlie in the World Series?
What about Uncle Harvey? He made a bigger mess than I ever did.
Uncle Harvey sure did, too. We're trying to forget about Uncle Harvey.
Sorry.
But maybe Uncle Charlie was drinking a little too much red wine and yelling, yay, go Astros, yay, all over the carpet.
No, I couldn't
get it out.
I couldn't drink wine. I had a good mood putting down my rosary.
the prayer, yes. Anyway, it was a great World Series. We have the holidays coming up. It was a horrible hurricane. A lot of cleaning being done. Call my friends at Dunright Carpet and Tile Cleaning. And they can do the tile grout and clean the stains. Don't set the stains. If you have a party and someone does really spill some wine or something, leave it alone and call them in the morning. Just tell everybody, get away from it. Because if you set the stain, it might not come out. But if you call them, they'll probably get it out. In fact, they're going to be really... Oh, they're going to want to show off their skills, so to speak, like they did at my mom's house when she had a very tough cleaning project. That's Dunright Carpet and Tile Cleaning.
We're about to call them, too, because we just took some furniture out of storage, some upholstery, had some storage schmutz, as you say, on it.
Well,
Robert over there to see if he can get that out. So.
He will.
He will.
If he cleaned my mother's chair, I'm telling you, he can clean anything because it was just pure yellow nicotine.
We're going to leave that there and move back to the questions. Okay. It's Early Edition on Sports Radio 6. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm Charlie. He's Tom. Your questions are front and center, the ones you send us at homeshowradio.com. I appreciate you doing that. Got one here from a guy, not sure how to pronounce his name, Thyme in Spring. Anyway, he says, we had to have our walls open due to Harvey, and there's a plastic vapor barrier on each side of the walls, and if you open it a little, you can look down and see that there's old mold growth between the exterior walls and this what he thinks is a vapor barrier. The mold's dead now, but it must have been there at some time. He's wondering, what does he do about this, Tom? Should he clean it out by hand? Should he spray some Kills in there is what he's asking.
Well, Kills isn't going to do anything, so no, don't spray Kills. I don't know why people are so into that.
Good branding.
Absolutely. It's like Thompson's. Very good branding. Or Whataburger. That's for later today.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, if it's dead, you say the mold is dead, that's the way the house was built. Put it back together. I think that's all you have to do.
He's talking about that black, what looks like plastic at the bottom.
Yeah, that's down by the brick just to keep the water from going in the weep holes. And there are, I don't know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of homes throughout the country that have that little 18 to 24 inch plastic at the bottom. If you sprayed it with a little Consan or you sprayed it with whatever your antibacterial product was you sprayed it with, let it go and put the thing back together. It's there for a reason.
Okay, and the reason is it's a detail that stops the water from coming in or something?
Yeah, when the water drips down the bottom of the brick, it's going to go out the weep holes and not crawl back under the wall.
Okay, super. So just leave it as the
Leave it alone. If it's only that little piece, just leave it.
John in Friendswood asks, I have some second floor ceiling damage from a roof leak during Harvey, and look for a contractor to fix that. I guess you need a roofer, obviously, to fix that. But then what about the ceiling, repairing that ceiling work? He's assuming that he'll have to obviously take the ceiling down, take the insulation's going to come out and all that. What's his process? Who do you think would be the one for this? Is this some ideal can handle soup to nuts?
You can ask them. They might. Everybody's taking on a little extra work right now and trying to get everybody 100% serviced after this storm. Rudy would be the other person to call once the roof is all done and let them go ahead and do the sheetrock. I'm a Rudy fan with sheetrock.
When
they take it down and there's texture to match and taping and floating, Rudy's the guy I always go to. He's my go-to guy.
Mm-hmm. Just be prepared with everybody, because Jim was here yesterday. Jim from Ideal was over here yesterday. He's going to do some work for us here at the office. And he was telling me he's having to wait for contractors At his house.
Well, you know what's happened.
Oh, yeah.
Just so everybody knows, is half of the guys that worked for all our local people are being paid double by the fly-by-nights, and they're running out and grabbing the money. They'll be back to work for these guys, but these guys are shorthanded now because they're not going to do that to the clients.
Right, and so it's worth waiting for.
Absolutely. No,
you'll get
no
better
doubt.
Work than somebody who stands behind. So be patient, John. Yes. You can live with it. I think you get Ideal Roofing out there right away. They'll make sure the leak is stopped, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But once that's done, you can wait for the work to be done and just think how much more you'll appreciate it when it is done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leslie in the Woodlands says, my home is 47 years old, and during Harvey, the frames supporting the windows leak, causing the inside grout in the floor brick to bubble up. She says it's the same pavers as the Galleria. So it's obviously the nicer part of the Woodlands where she's living.
Been in the Galleria in 20 years.
So window frames must be replaced as the wood is rotten. And what wood is the best replacement wood to use on the outside of the frame and support the windows? The inside frame next to it is number one redwood, which is being replaced also.
Well, it depends what the house looks like. If it's a colonial house or whatever, it's going to be a pine because it's going to paint well, or a fir. Not pressure treated. It depends on the look of the house and how the trim goes together with it. If it's more of a simple siding type product, then a hardy siding is always a great product and holds paint well too. So if you can replace the real wood with a hardy that looks like the wood, and that's what hardy is all about, that of course is going to be the best. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. And then she wonders, should she treat it for termites when they put this wood in?
No. You can't treat anything for termites. You have to have the termites to kill them, and you don't wait for them to come in.
Well, you could introduce termites, and then
could give them some poison, I guess.
There's more Early Edition coming up in just a minute. We're going to talk about return airs and lifting houses. If you haven't seen somebody in your neighborhood doing it, we had one in our neighborhood, lifted the house 2 feet. It is amazing to see the house, how they do it. And Kenny Dutton's going to talk about that from Due West Foundation Repair in just a minute as we continue on Early Edition.
We're here getting you the answers you need from the people Tom trusts, the trusted companies of homeshowradio.com. We call it Early Edition. I'm Charlie Moger with Tom Tynan and Mark Shelton from Absolute Comfort Air. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Hey, I got a note here from Bill. He sent a question to us at homeshowradio.com from Katie. He says he just had an AC checkup, and he was told he needs more return air work, duct work, for his 5-ton unit. He says his 5-ton air conditioning unit. He says the house is about 1,950 square feet, so I know, he admits, that he has just a little more than they need, but the system only has 2 return air ducts. Do I really need more, and if so, how much? What say you, Mark?
I'd say that he has a very oversized unit, and he probably needs a lot of duct work to handle that extra load, but then he's going to be very uncomfortable because it's going to take the sensible heat but no moisture out.
Explain that, because you're talking about the latent heat in the home here, right, the humidity?
The humidity, yeah. Down in Houston, we have a lot of humidity, and the Manual J helps you calculate at 95 degrees, pick a number that it's going to keep it 20 degrees cooler or 25. And so if you put a larger one in, it'll cool it down. But at 95, it's running 90% of the time, and it's taking the humidity out. And the more humidity you take out, the more comfortable you are. You can run down to 70 degrees in your house and still have 65% humidity and be very uncomfortable.
Which sounds like that's where he's going to wind up. So this is a case where bigger isn't better.
Bigger is not better always.
And, well, thank God for that. So, but in this case, so he would be with a unit that size and the ductwork he has, it's probably not really delivering 5 tons anyway.
No, you have to have it designed properly. It was probably designed, and it was probably under-designed if a builder did it for the size unit he originally had. Mm-hmm. When he put this on, it didn't improve it because he couldn't deliver the airflow and the CFM to get it correct. And one other thing, probably if he had made some changes on his ductwork, he could could have kept his own unit, and it would have cooled better, more reasonable, and it'd been more comfortable.
That's why you want to make sure you hire somebody who knows what they're doing when you put an air conditioning system in. It's one of the reasons that we turned to Mark and the folks at Absolute Comfort Air, because they are the trusted company for air conditioning at Home Show Radio. Mark, thanks a lot for helping us out this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, Charlie.
Thanks for being with us. Continuing with Early Edition here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Charlie with Tom. And on the phone, Kenny Dutton, our Home Show Pro for Foundation Repair. Kenny, we need your help this morning.
Great, Charlie. I'm glad to help.
Darlene writes to us here from Spring Shadows. And apparently, she, like a lot of people over there, got water during Harvey. And she wants to know, what method do you recommend for lifting a house about 3 feet to prevent flooding? And she's particularly concerned, she says, about what this is going to do to her plumbing. She has some cast iron plumbing under the house. What's going to happen when that house goes up?
Well, you know, most of the time, structures like that is raised nowadays, foundation and all. We were really the first one in the Houston area to do that. We went 9.5 feet with our first one back in 1988. You know, if it's got old cast iron plumbing, it's probably getting close to living its lifespan anyways. And when we approach a raising that way, we excavate out underneath it to install piling and raise the structure up. I just let the plumbing go because we're going to have 3 feet of clearance underneath it. It's relatively inexpensive at that point to put in new PVC underneath it and not have to worry about the cast iron anymore.
So you just leave it in place, lift up the house, and install new plumbing underneath it.
Correct.
So what happens underneath the house? This is a question my neighbors have. When you lift a house like that, what do you do underneath it? You just leave a giant void? Do you create a skirt around the house? I mean, 3 feet's a big distance.
We say it's a big distance. As structures have been being raised, they've gone up, you know, 20 feet with them, even back in the 1800s. It's old technology, but the majority of them in floodplain areas nowadays, you can't bring fill in, so we end up raising it up and then building some type of wall or skirt around the perimeter to make it look like the house comes down to the ground still.
In simple terms, you're going to tunnel under the house, you're going to put pilings in, and then uniformly lift the entire structure up in the air. Is that right?
That's correct. Most of them are tunneled. It can be done by going through the slab, but we usually don't recommend that nowadays. It's a whole lot structurally better to do it all by tunneling and then come upward. And in fact, the FEMA recommendations, which we helped write some of the FEMA guidelines after Katrina hit, before structures were raised over there, they came to us because we did so many structure raisings. And pretty much, if it's a FEMA project, they pay for the tunneling and everything nowadays.
They help write the rules. They innovated tunneling. You and I could probably talk another 5 minutes on tunneling alone, Kenny, but we want to thank you for helping us out with this morning. You've got questions? You want to learn more about this? Click on the Due West Foundation button there on the Home Show Radio homepage. Kenny, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you much, Charlie.
One of the products that builders love to use, no matter the quality of the builder, when I say that, it could be a low-end builder and just building 1,200 square foot homes, or you could be building million-dollar homes. Everybody uses Hardy. And the reason is, you don't get callbacks. So whatever the price range is a better way to say it. Whatever price range house you have, Hardy fits it all. And of course, James Hardy Siding proved itself through Hurricane Harvey. The others did not prove themselves, which a lot of people are saying, oh, it'll be fine. But guess what? It wasn't.
Actually, I would say they disproved themselves.
They disproved themselves. There you go. Well, it's a Tynanism. I never get those things quite right. Home Show Hardy Pros are the people you want to install your Hardy. And the Hardy you choose, whether it's Artisan, Color Plus, or just the pre-primed with the yellow color on there, well, it will, of course, be painted the color you want, but you want it to look good no matter which one you choose, because you can choose the best. If it's not put on right, it'll look the worst. Make sure it's James Hardy Siding. That's a given. And make sure you go to homeshowhardypros.com for a elite preferred installer that's also a certified Home Show Pro.
What more could you possibly want?
I don't know. We have to come up with some more terms. We can just start packing them up.
I might just say egg in your beer. I don't know what that is, but
ooh, that's gross. Yeah, okay.
Couple
couple questions. We got just a couple minutes to cover some questions here, Tom, before I leave and you start taking your phone calls here. You want to cue the folk up?
Yeah, I'm still kind of getting, haven't got past the egg and a beer yet. Okay. 713-57. I've heard it before. I just know what it means.
I'll look it up for next
713-572-4610.
I don't drink beer, so I don't know.
I don't either anymore. It's like eating a loaf of bread. It just bloats me up. Like a giant blowfish.
There's a thought.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Well, you know, okay.
Yes. We'll move on. We'll talk about that and Facebook Live someday.
Someday. All okay. Right. Moving along here. A couple questions to get in here before we're done with the show this morning. Jeff from Wallaceville says, the driveway at my new home has a chalky substance that can be seen on the soles of my shoes after walking on it, shows up on dark clothing. How do I get it? And it especially, he says, when he's changed the oil in his truck, he says, it's about 11 months old. What can they do about this? Is this efflorescence he's seeing, Tom?
No, it's chalking. What they did was, it's a new concrete pour, and they brought too much of the fine material to the top, so now it's dusting on them. And there's not a lot you can do about it right now. It eventually will wear away. If you want to try to lessen the dusting of it, you can put on a masonry waterproofer that'll last a while, and eventually it's going to wash away.
The waterproofer will wash away?
That'll wash away too, unfortunately, okay. But it'll all eventually wash away.
Okay, so you can just power wash this off? And
you could. I mean, you can accelerate the washing of it, so that could help a little bit. But right now, it's just the top is dusting.
Okay. Steve in Tomball says, I want to take the intercom system out of our house. Is there anything we need to do? I was planning on disconnecting the base unit, terminating the wires with wire caps, and also terminating the speaker wires with caps and sheetrocking over the openings. Sounds pretty thorough to me. Anything more you'd do?
Yeah, I don't really need to cap it all. It's all low voltage. And once you, the main unit has the power to it. Once that main unit is disconnected, there's no more power in the walls or in those wires at all. So you can just pretty much just cut and get rid of it is about all you have to do.
We're at a
friend's, it's like speaker wire.
Well, we were at a friend's house a couple weeks ago, and they had one of those old intercom systems. Yeah. He had it restored. It
you
works like
that.
A champ all over the house. It's the coolest thing.
You play stereo in
it's
every
like,
room.
You know, it's like imagine having a speaker in every room that can like play music or something. You know, like, say Alexa or something. Okay.
There you go.
John in Greatwood says, what is the best way to find a good public adjuster for our flood claims?
Well, that's a good question. And the only thing I can tell you is to get online and start Googling that stuff and finding all the ones in town, start making phone calls. There's a bunch of them, but it's not something you see on corners advertised, you know, next to the grocery store.
Next to, you know, you got the Chinese laundry, the tattoo parlor, the public adjuster.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not like that.
But, you know, right now the lawyers are advertising a lot.
Right.
But the public adjuster, which the lawyers don't like to see in come first because they're usually more effective. The public adjusters usually don't have to advertise.
Okay. There's no kind of rating for them or anything like that?
Just, no. Not that I know of.
They are what they are. Okay.
Yep.
Sandra in Rocheron says, we're in need of a spring for our 1940s garage door. She says it was called a Hollywood door. Where could she get a replacement for that?
I'd call the Overhead Door Company of Houston on Main Street.
All right. I wasn't sure. The Hollywood door thing threw me off. I wasn't sure if, you know, you have to George Hamilton out or something to look at it. Or
no, I think if it's going to be available, they're probably one of the few places they're going to have the parts and know where to get them.
And remember, when you buy replacement parts at Overhead Door, they come with a lifetime replacement guarantee.
And you know what? I'm not going to put my name on that particular part because it's so odd, but I bet you could talk them into it.
They're flexible.
Yeah, right. They're flexible.
And finally, Santiago in Missouri City wraps up the festivities today with this one. I'm planning on remodeling my home. My question is, what would be the best route in getting a home remodeling loan?
Well, I think the best, when you get into home remodeling loans, the first thing is a one with your mortgage, home equity loan. That's
home,
what I'm going
home,
at.
Home equity loan.
Yeah, so I would start with that for sure because, you know, you have to go with the equity in your home. They're going to put a second lien on the house or they'll roll over the whole thing into one.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever does your mortgage is a place to start. My mortgage is with USAA. That would be the place I would start to call for home equity loans. Depending who you were with, I think the easiest thing is to go with the people you're already established with.
Good advice. And here's the thing. The average time spent in a house for a family is, what, about 7 years, right? 7 to 8 years.
I don't know.
Houses turn over in about 7 to 8 years. So chances are, Santiago, you get a home equity loan, it's going to get folded into when you sell the house anyway. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's the way to go.
Yeah.
Don't go get a loan for like 5 years. Don't get like a car loan to pay for home improvements. That's a bad
program. Don't do that.
All right. That's it for Early Edition. Thanks to Rudy at Rudy's Quality Painting, Steve at Concepts and Concrete, Mark from Absolute Comfort Air, and Kenny at Due West Foundation Pair for being here. Thank you to Patrick for being here in the studio, for our in-studio producer, and of course, Chad, the executive producer. Yes, he's eating brie and baguettes somewhere and wearing a beret. He's an executive producer. I don't know.
Yeah,
all right. Tom's going to stay on continuing with his speedo here for the rest of the show, taking your phone calls.
713-572-4610 will be with you till 11 o'clock today. The Texans are at the Rams, wherever they are. I think that's L.A., at 3 o'clock today. 3:05 to be exact.
He's Tom Tynan. I'm Charlie Mojo. I'll be back fully clothed again next Sunday morning for another Early Edition here on Sports Radio 610.
And we continue on now with calls from you to me and me to you. I call for you. That's what I can do. 713-572-4610. And we will talk till 11 o'clock today. Let's talk to Jimmy. Jimmy, you've been holding a long time. You're on Home Show Radio.
Hello, Tom. Listen, I'm one of the guys who really miss hearing you up in the Dallas area. Listen to you online still, but I'm glad I can still call and just get some questions answered. I'm finally getting a roof from hail damage that we had back in the spring. My house basically has two parts, the original part, 2,000 square foot, and then an add-on that I built after I was listening to you. On that add-on, it's got the solar ply decking and the ridge vent. So the question I'm going to have today is about ridge vents on the old part that I did. That original part, 2,000 square foot, has six gables. Four of the gables have the 18 by 24 cedar gable vents, about 2.5 feet down from the ridge. But the highest gable has the triangular gable vents on each end that follow the rafters. First question is, would the cedar gable vents affect anything if I add ridge vents? Specifically, does it work with the soffit vent as an air intake, or will they work against the ridge vent? These gables are about 10 foot below the highest large gable that I was referring to.
It'll feed it. The thing is with the gable vents, whether it's the square one, rectangular one, it lets air, if air is blowing, it's blowing through the attic, which was the whole point. And it just kind of messes up the draw from the soffit vents to the ridge vent. But right now, if I were you, what I would do is put the ridge vent in. You're putting a new roof on. So let's get it on because it's part of the package. And it's going to make the roof last longer. Will be the perfect scenario if you don't do anything else? No. If you hung a piece of tar paper behind the vents so the air wouldn't blow in, that would be more beneficial to you if you want to go through that. But that's all. I would definitely put the ridge vent in.
Okay. Is there a problem putting ridge vents? Like, you got the one main high ridge that has the gable end vents on each end, and then you have lower ridges, like 6 foot, 10 foot below. Is it a problem putting ridge vents on those? Could that, like, suck air, mess up the flow, too? I've read stuff both ways on it.
I think people overthink it. If it's really still in the attic, if you've ever gone in the attic in the summer, the air is just, it's not moving. Unless you have a windy day and you've got vents let blowing the air, and it's just not moving. So it is going to draw straight from bottom to up. And if you look at smoke test, you'll see that's exactly what it does. Now, if you put a lot of wind in the situation and you get into positive and negative air pressures, that's going to mess up that ideal situation every time. But we don't live in a world where, you know, we're living in a vacuum. So I would put ridge vents on all my ridges. If it was my house, if I was building it for you, and I was retrofitting your house and added your room and we're doing all this stuff, I would put the ridge vents on all the ridges. And if you want to just keep the wind from blowing in, or like I say, put a piece of plastic or tar paper or something on the backside of those vents, that would be more helpful. But that's all I would do. I'd keep it simple.
Okay. And so if I put ridge vents on all the ridges, how do you know if you have too much exhaust over soffit intake?
Well, the rule is you can't have too much. I mean, you can have too little, but not too much. But the minimum requirements is 1 square foot of opening for every 150 square feet of attic floor. And in theory, it should be 60% exhaust, 40% opening. No, excuse me, 40% exhaust, 60% opening, because all soffit vents don't work at the same time unless we have no wind blowing at all. And that's when you get into the positive and negative air pressure. So it's not always working in this perfect world unless the air outside is really still.
Okay, so bottom line, make sure I have more soffit than exhaust.
If you can, but you can't have too much. That's a minimum. Maximum of everything, you have 100% everything. You know, the numbers don't work that way. But what I'm getting at is minimum standards on FHA, that's how you would have minimum standards. But if you have more soffit than ridge, it's okay. But if you're dealing with the 1 square foot rule, that's the rule.
Okay. And, like, I have an area between the old and the new part. It's kind of an alleyway, a 5 foot area, because the new part was a wing. The AC units are over there. I don't have soffit there. I'm thinking with the additional ridge vent, I should probably try to add more soffit. That's a great location, but the AC is venting the hot air. Is that a negative?
No. I mean, to put soffit vents in an attic space where the air conditioning system is?
No, the AC compressor is on the ground. The soffits would be up above it. Is that
going
to be a bad thing?
No, it's not going to blow that hard. It'll be fine. If you've got lower soffits, you don't put them on the rake, but if you have them soffit, it'll be fine.
Okay.
Like I say, don't overthink it. Even if it's hot air, it's going to blow out. I mean, more air, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, perfect. And the final question is, I got up there, I actually designed my house, and it's one of those things I messed up on. I have, I have different, what they create on the roof. A kind of a V, kind of a necking down to where it joins in between the two. And so I've noticed rot there. I'm cleaning that out before the roofers get here. And the only question I've read on Hardy Board, I'm curious if that's a problem, since it's an area that would get, it would be right up. Most of the Hardy I've seen is supposed to be 2 inches up from any water source, like on a house or whatever. This would be running right along the shingles. Is that a problem?
The Hardy will dry out. It's always a problem if water runs and gets behind anything, it's going to have a leak. But if you can keep it watertight, the Hardy will get wet and dry. It will not rot.
Okay, because I'm putting the ice storm up the wall.
Okay,
it's a perpendicular area. And I'm going to put the Hardy down there.
Yeah, if you're doing it just for cosmetic, you're just doing it for cosmetic. If it gets wet when it rains, it's not sitting in the ocean. If it gets wet when it rains, that's okay.
Okay. Listen, it's so good talking to you. Again, we miss you in the Dallas area, but you've always had very good sound advice,
thank you.
And I really appreciate it.
All right, partner. Thank you, Jimmy. Bye-bye. In fact, I've got the KRLD here in my studio in my house, the KRLD poster right behind me here when I used to do it there. I think that's what it was. Let me see. Yep, 1080 KRLD. I have to remember, there was one time I was on like 16 stations, and it's hard for me to keep track, but that was so long ago. I like Dallas. I mean, I'm from the Fort Worth area, so that was always a kick for me, and it's a great town. I have family that live up there. I know everybody in Houston's supposed to hate Dallas, and everybody in Dallas is supposed to hate Houston, but I'm not a hater. I'm a wise guy, but I'm not a hater. That's what gets me in trouble, is when I want to wise off to people because they're being so stupid. All right. Anyway, Houston for lease, Bruce Lessie wants to make you a gazillionaire. I mean, in real life, he really does. He wants to make you a very wealthy person. Now, it's not always going to turn out that way where you're going to be a zillionaire. But how about some cash coming in every month? You know, a little extra cash is not a bad thing. I'm making some changes in my life now, right? And so I'm giving up a big chunk. Now, I'm not the radio. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. But I'm thinking I need a little something extra to do during the week and make a little extra cash here and there, you know? So it's kind of exciting for me at my age to see, what am I going to do? But a little bit of cash is not a bad thing. And that goes for everybody at any age. And if you have a house and you're going to sell it because you want to move off to the Bahamas or move to a home, I don't know where you're going to move. Move wherever you want. But don't sell the house if you own it. Call Bruce Lessie at Houston for Lease and let him manage your property and give you a monthly income. Even if it's a little, you have a little house, you have a little income. You got four houses, he'll do all four houses. You have 18 houses, now you're getting to be a zillionaire, right? He'll do it for you, but he takes the headaches away from you. And that's kind of what I'm doing in life, too. I want to get rid of all the headaches. I'm too old for all these headaches, right? A headache. Oh, just take aspirin. I don't like to take aspirin. All right. Anyway, Bruce does a great job. I'm going to give you his cell phone number. He's local. There's no hidden fees. It's one fee, takes care of everything. I think you will. I do. I think you'll like him very much. And he's going to put the ease in lease, is what we like to say. So instead of going to call centers and this and that and going to these big conglomerates that are all over the country, go to the local guy. Go to the guy that almost started it. I want to say he did, because we were the first ones talking about this, and everybody in town started doing it. Bruce Lessie, Houston for Lease, 832-654-5670. 713-572-4610. Call me and we will talk today. I'll be with you until 11 o'clock. No, I never give this up. He's like, wait, you're getting... No. I built my new studio in my house. Are you kidding me? I love this stuff. Radio is beautiful. It's the only job I've had for that long of a period. Usually I get bored after a while and I move to move. I'm a startup guy. I'm not a daily run it every day guy. Oh, look, Jim Fiume's on TV. He's a Gulf Coast Windows guy. All right. Anyway, let's talk to Bruce. Bruce, you're on Home Show Radio.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Bruce.
I'm helping with a house that had some water in it during Harvey. The hardwood floors have been taken out. My question, and I'm kind of unsure of what to do, okay. There's a custom built-in entertainment center that's pretty much, covers one whole wall. Mm. It's sitting on the hardwood floors. When they took the floors out, they cut the floors even with the front face of the cabinets. I pulled the kick plate out. If I can cut that floor back even to with where the kick plate is, would we run into a problem leaving that hardwood floors underneath where that cabinet sits instead of having to rip that whole cabinet out?
If you're not going to rip the cabinet out, you're not going to rip the wood out. Now, I can't tell you to rip the cabinet out or not. That's a decision you'll have to make, because I don't have enough information. I'm on the other side of the microphone here. But if you think you can save it, you took the kick plates off, you dried it out really well, you use an antibacterial product up into there, and you want to cut the wood back and put the cabinet back together, I don't think you have a problem, no, but you're not going to try to get the wood out and leave the cabinet, and you obviously probably already realize that. But it's up to you. It depends how bad that cabinet is.
Yeah, the water didn't get into the cabinet.
I think you're good.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out a way where I could cut the wood back a little bit farther underneath the front part of the cabinet where the overhang is, mm-hmm. and then when they come in with the new floor, just butt it up against that.
Yeah, you're going to have to get one of those little vibrating cutters and cut that stuff. It's almost like a reverse jam, so I forgot. I have one. It's got a little wheel on the end, and you just cut right back as far as you want. It doesn't have to be pretty. You just want to cut it out of the way, and then you put a nice kick plate back on the front of the cabinet before they put the floor in.
Uh-huh. Good deal. Well, that's what I was hoping. I would be okay. Yeah, we've got the antibacterial spray and got fans and stuff blowing on it.
You're good. I didn't know if you had 20 feet of water in your home or 2 inches, so it sounds like you didn't have that much.
No, the cabinet floor is about 5 inches, and there was about 4 inches there in that part of the house.
Yeah, dry it out real well. Make sure it's nice and dry with a moisture meter. Give it a good paint job. It's painted, I take it, and paint it. If not, stain it. But put it all back together.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. And I'm not worried about wood getting wet. I mean, wood gets wet and dry all the time. When you're framing a home, you get rain on it and stuff. What we're afraid of, and this happened with people who were in certain areas of Houston, and it happened to a lot of people. What we're afraid of is you had 3 or 5 or 6 feet of water in your home, but it was not really clean water, and it was all dumped from, it was muddy and mucky, and it had E. coli and all this stuff in there, and it sat in your home for, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days? That's when, man, that bacteria and stuff starts to go crazy. If you just got a little floor stuff, I know it's very inconvenient. It's a big expense to take out the floors and redo the floors and all that. But you're probably going to be just fine because it was a quick come and go, and you could clean up quickly, and it didn't sit there and fester. And I don't know what's in some of that water they were testing. It's disgusting. I mean, literally, two people have died from flesh-eating disease. I feel so bad. One of them's a carpenter. And all he was doing was trying to help people, you know, tear out all the junk in the home. And you get an open wound or something, I guess it can be pretty bad depending what's in that water. So it depends where you are. And that part, I don't think anybody will ever tell you. They might have tested water. They're not going to tell you the results because of many reasons, obvious reasons, legal reasons. Texas Drain Technologies are the people that can renew your pipes without repiping your home. I know you hear about this all the time. A lot of people repipe. A lot of people renew. And there's a big controversy. A lot of people feel more comfortable than others doing one way or the other. Not a problem. But Texas Drain Technologies, if you have a home with that galvanized pipe, it's not performing like it used to. You know it's old. You know it's corroded. You know it's a mess. Then what you're looking at is calling them and having them, at least talk to them about it, having them just sandblast and renew those pipes. A lot of us don't trust. We have trust issues. And you say, well, how do you know? Well, you know, I guess you could be like that little cartoon and you put you in the body and you go around inside the body or something like that, or the magic school bus, but you can't. But you can, you know, they have, to prove people before, they have actually cut sections out and said, look, see this? You can pay a little extra because now they have to patch that section, which can be done. But with today's piping and stuff, just to show people. And, you know, some people want that, I guess. So talk to them about it. But their system works. It's been around a long time. It developed from military background and commercial. And, you know, they use it on oil rigs and all this stuff. You don't go repipe an oil rig. You don't repipe a high rise. You don't repipe an aircraft carrier. You renew. So why tear up your house? Why go through the inconvenience when you can just call Texas Drain Technologies? At least give them a shot at talking to you about it and explaining it to you so you feel more comfortable. That's Texas Drain Technologies. Just go to homeshowradio.com for all their information and visit their website, and it'll clear up some of your questions. 713-572-4610. Let's talk to David. David, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, Tom. Wife and I are currently looking for some property and to build a new home. And I'm just curious if you have any architects, draftsmen, whatever, who design, you know, do house plans that you would recommend. I'm kind of looking for somebody to help me make sure it's as energy efficient as possible.
Yeah, I've been out of the business for, gosh, I want to say 6-7 years now. So I really have not been in touch with people that are doing that. The last guy I used was a guy named GAD Designs, Guillermo. Okay. And I don't even, it's been so long, I don't even know if he's around. But first off, the first thing before you start doing that, just saying I can help you out in some ways, you need to get your land first.
Oh, yeah. I definitely good. Plan to do that. Yeah. And, you know,
and so then you can interview some house designers. You don't have to have an architect for a house necessarily, but in the state of Texas, they have registered or licensed house designers. There's people out there that can do that. And then you can start talking to people. But until the design phase, you can't start a design phase at all until you get the land so they know exactly where it's going.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate it anyway. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. People make that mistake, by the way. They design their home, then they go look for land. No, don't do that. Energy efficient, that came out of his mouth. Energy efficient home is really easy to do. You can have electric bills so low now, and it doesn't cost a lot. It's just a little attention to detail with the insulation package and how your window placement and door placement. It's the design that has more to do than what products you're wrapping the house with, and that's what people need to get off the back of their head, is they think they just have to wrap the house and put junk in it and buy more mechanical junk, and you don't do that. What you do is you design the house for the environment that it's going in, whether it's, you know, in Austin, or it's got a lot of trees around it, it's in the piney woods, wherever it might be. You have to know that first. The Overhead Door Company of Houston on Main Street, the original
since 1934 and a certified Home Show Pro for over 20 years now. So I say, this is my bread and butter right here, baby. This microphone and these wonderful people that I get to find for you to make sure that I want to take the pain of being a homeowner in the, you know, people get so scared sometimes when they have to call a contractor, so to speak, or a company, a service company to come in and work on your home. You're not sure where to go. And I know there's a lot of lists that are nationwide on the online and stuff, but those are paid for lists and usually all owned by the same person is what it comes down to. We're local. I mentioned earlier, a gentleman called earlier about me being in Dallas, and I used to be all over the state, and I found I couldn't be as effective. I could not be as effective one-on-one if I wasn't in Houston, my home, dealing with the people that I know are good that I deal with all the time. The Overhead Door Company of Houston on Main Street, I bought my first garage door for my first project from them in 1988. That's how long I've been associated with them just as a customer. So you give them a call and don't be fooled by the people who want to pretend, the pretenders. I like that. That's even better. Don't be fooled by those people. You call the genuine. You call the original. You call 713-422-2424. And if you're not sure who to call, and it might be a week from now, always go to homeshowradio.com. Everybody's listed right there.